This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
يا خاطب الحور الحسان وطالبا لوصالهن بجنة الحيوان.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. Dear respective brothers and sisters, by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, He has all brought us here today in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, not for poker, not to mess around or not to backbite or not for any other gatherings that we hear about a lot. Or in these gatherings where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mocked or there's all kinds of ma'asi taking place. Especially on a night like this, on a Saturday night, you find that the ma'asi in many, many different places. Whether it is nightclubs, whether it is parties, house parties and all sorts. All kinds of ma'asi are taking place. All kinds of balaya are found, especially in the West. And I don't need to explain any further of some of the things that goes around in places like in the West. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he talked about these fitan, these trials that happen in this very day, in many, many different hadith, and in many, many quotes that is found in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said in a hadith, لا يأتين عليكم زمان لا يبالي الرجل من أين أصاب المال لا من حلال ولا من حرام. There will come a time when a man, he does not care where he earns his wealth, whether it is from haram or min halal. Fitan, so much corruption that is taking place all the time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentioned another hadith, لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ زَمَانٌ لَا يَدْرِي الْقَاتِلِ فِي أَيِّ شَيْءٍ قَتَلْ وَلَا يَدْرِي الْمَقْتُولِ فِي أَيِّ شَيْءٍ قُتِلْ. There will come a time when the person that's killing, he does not know why he has killed. And the one that has been killed, he doesn't know why he has been killed. All these corruption that are widespread. All of our, or shall I say some of our brothers, who are in the deen of Islam, or are Muslimin, after so much corruption that overwhelms them, whether it comes from the unis or any other place that they go to, we find Muslims that pray with us day and night who are leaving the fold of Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam likewise talked about this. He said in an authentic hadith, بَادِرُوا بِالْعَمَالِ فِتَنْ كَقِتَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ. Hasten to doing good deeds, the fitan is like the dark patches of the night. يُصْبِحُ الْإِنسَانُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. A person will break the morning while he's a mu'min or he's a believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's praying, he's doing all kinds of good and he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He breaks the night while he's disbelieving in Allah azza wa jal. وَيُمْسِ الْإِنسَانُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا. And likewise, he breaks the evening while he's a Muslim and in the morning while he's disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fitan are many. And how much? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala He said, وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْقَتَلِ. The corruption and the trial is worse than being killed. If I was to ask every single one of you now in the room, if you prefer that you die in the state of zina while you are fornicating illegally, or you die while you are having funny beliefs, فِتْنَةَ الشَّهَوَاتُ وَفِتْنَةَ الشُّبَهَاتُ. Someone came to you and he gave you all these doubts, now you don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anymore. That you either die in that particular state, or you die while you're in the state of Islam, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes your life away. I think most of us here would choose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes our souls away, or we die, while we are in the state of iman, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to make dua. This is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's fearing for himself. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicts him with a fitna, and he dies while in the state of fitna. He used to say, فَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ لِعِبَادِكَ فِتْنَةً فَاقْبُضْنِي إِلَيْكَ غَيْرُ مَفْتُونَ. If you want fitna, corruption for your slave, then dispatch me while I am not maftun, infatuated, corrupted. This is the state of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fearing against himself to fall or to become maftun. So how do you think our situation is? We take things for granted. The main thing that we want to talk about today is the issue or some of the asbab al-halak, some of the causes of destruction, of the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destructed some people. And if there is this destruction coming our way, because there's many, many things that a Muslim needs to know. Because what's apparent now, that a lot of people are asleep. They don't seem to know exactly what's going on. Or they don't see the reality in exactly what's going on in front of their eyes. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned in a very authentic hadith. And I want everyone to think about his hadith. Because some of us might think that we are righteous. Or some of us might think that we're doing good. The Prophet Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha, she said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَنَالِكُ وَفِينَ الصَّالِحُونَ. Will we become destructed, destroyed? And amongst us are the righteous people. Are amongst us the righteous people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not only cause a destruction to the evil ones. Look what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied back by saying, نعم إذا كثر الخبث. Yes, if the evil becomes widespread. So a person could be righteous, or they could be righteous people. Within the people, they're not doing anything bad. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destructs them while they are amongst the evil ones, or those that are committing all the sin. So it's upon us to know some of these asbab, or some of these usul that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he talked about. One origin that has been absolutely left off, and you can ask yourself as well if you think about it closely, why this has actually happened. How many places or how many people do you find when you're doing wrong, they tell you that you're doing incorrectly, or you're doing something haram? This whole asal of amru bil ma'roof wa nahy an al munkar has been left off. Enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. Telling someone when you see him doing clearly wrong, or telling him to do something good. Everybody cares about themselves. Khalas, my wife's at home, she's doing good, she's not doing anything bad, I don't care about the rest of the people. Alhamdulillah, my children at home, they're all tamam. They're all good, I don't care about the rest of the people. Sometimes we might find our own Muslim brothers on the middle of the street. They might be doing something with a woman. They might be stealing. They might be doing all kinds of fawahish. We don't care. We don't do nothing. And this great asal of amru bil ma'roof wa nahy an al munkar has been left off. This is why, and this is the asal, the origin, why a lot of ma'asi and so much destruction takes place. People, they become ba'id, fawqa bu'd, far, far away. Because of why? They're those that know something, or they actually know what's right and what's wrong, they don't tell the people. So a person, yatamada fi dhalali. A person becomes very, very drowned in his dhalala, in his misguidance. So it's upon us to establish this great asal, this principle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed some people. Why? Because they would not enjoin the good and forbid the evil. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. فلما نسوا ما ذكروا به أنجينا الذين ينهون عن السوء وأخذنا الذين ظلموا بعذاب بئيس بما كانوا يفسقون. And when they forgot what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded them with, we saved those that used to prohibit the evil and those that used to oppress. We destroyed them. We gave them a painful punishment. And Bani Israel, what happened to them? Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. لُعِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ عَلَى لِسَانِ دَاوُدُ وَعِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ ذَلِكَ بِمَا عَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that the people of Bani Israel, they were cursed upon the tongue of Isa ibn Maryam and also Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. He cursed them. Why did he curse them? They used to violate. And also it comes in the ayah after it, كانوا لا يتناهون عن منكر فعلوه لبئس ما كانوا يفعلون. When they saw something being done wrong or they saw fawahish, they would not forbid it. They would not inform that particular person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَبِئْسَ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. And what a bad thing they used to do. Just being quiet, caring about yourself and not caring about the rest, is totally wrong. Especially when you see this particular issue happening in front of you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا يَمْنَعَنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ هَيْبَةَ النَّاسِ أَنْ يَقُولَ فِي حَقٍ إِذَا رَآهُ أَوْ سَمِعُوا شَهِدَهُ. Do not let the fear of the people stop you from speaking the truth when you see it, when you wish, or when you witness it, or when you hear it. Tell that person in a particular good way or in a good manner. Do the amr bil ma'ruf wa nahi an al munkar. Don't just let him fall into his sin, because by this, if you have the ability, you are falling into a mistake as well. And this is the part of the iman. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned those that when they hear or when they see something and they don't do nothing, it came in a hadith, وَلَيْسَ وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ مِثْقَالُ حَبَّةٍ مِنْ خَرْدَلٍ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. After that, when they don't absolutely say anything or they don't even disapprove of it, there's not even a mustard grain of iman left in this person's heart. So this issue of telling and likewise disapproving of a particular issue, informing the individual that he's doing wrong, is something that is upon us to all do. Inform the person. Don't let your children or your wives or even the people around you, your jiran, everyone has a huquq against you, that you inform them of the good and likewise the evil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ لَتُبَيِّنُنَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a promise with those that have been given the book, those that know. If you know, it's a responsibility upon every single person. أَنَّكَ تُنْكِرْ بِالَّتِي أَحْسَنْ. That you disapprove of this particular issue in a good way. Those that contemplate upon the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not sent down the Qur'an for a joke or for us to just leave it inside our houses. وَيَصِيرُ مُغَبَّرْ. That the Qur'an becomes مُغَبَّرْ. It has dirt over it or it's become dusty, and we leave it on the side and that's it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent this Qur'an down as a clarification. That a person, he looks into this Qur'an and he takes heed. What is the point of us being here if we don't take the Qur'an as something to take heed upon, or we don't act upon it? Us as Muslims, we've been put in this place to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We've not been put here as a joke or without a reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about many of the people today. لَاهِيَةً قُلُوبُهُمْ وَأَصَرُّ النَّجْوَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Their hearts are unmindful. A lot of us have forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We care more about some of the things that are going on that are related to other than the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, فَخْصُصِ الْقَصَصَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Tell them of the stories in the Quran so that they remember. فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. These qissas, they're not just stories, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just tells stories for no sake or for no reason. Rather, in every single thing or every story in the Quran, it has an example. When we're in school, when we are given a story, the teacher used to tell us, what's the moral of the story? What's the moral of the story? The moral of the story, there's always something inside the story that a person needs to take heed, or he needs to understand what's going on. And likewise, the Quran. It's not abath that we just keep in our houses and we don't take heed and we don't care about the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down. It's a remembrance for a person to accept and likewise make it part of his religion, make it part of his self-being. On a daily basis, at least read some of the Quran. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that it's only the affairs of the believer. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered, that the iman increases. Our iman is to increase. Especially in the lands of the kuffar. The more fawahish we see, it becomes normal to us. Every single thing that's going on, wallahi, sometimes when a person comes back from the Muslim countries, maybe from Saudi Arabia, he feels very, very disgusted after seeing all that khair, maybe in the haram or in Makkah or Medina. He comes back to this place, he feels something in his heart, that there's something not wrong, no, something not right. Why? Because you see the salihin, everybody's doing ibadah. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is widespread. Tawaf, dhikr Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all sorts of things. And when he comes back, he sees all this fawahish, everything becomes normal. It's only a matter of time before he stops disapproving of some of the affairs that are happening around him. So these qissas, these stories that are inside the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down, we need to take a lesson. We need to take heed and use it to change our lives and make our lives better. Otherwise, there's no cause for us having the Quran in our house if we're not going to do nothing about it or we're not going to act upon it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-Quran hujjatan lakum alayk. This Quran that we have in our houses sometimes, mashallah, indana ashara, ishrun. We got 10, maybe 20 different Qurans inside the house. For zina is beautifying our house, mashallah. What's the point? If this Quran is no benefit to us and we don't go back to it. نسأل والله عن كل شيء نفعله. Everything that we're doing, we're going to be asked on يوم القيامة. Like Allah Azza wa Jalla said, ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلى أحصاها. On يوم القيامة, the مجرمين, they will say, what's wrong with this book? Every small thing and also big thing, you find it in there. It doesn't leave you off. نسأل عن كل شيء. Everything that we're doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us regarding it. Especially when we're reminded about the Quran and likewise the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for some of the ibar, some of the lessons inside the Quran, that is upon us to take heed. How many aqwam, how many people before us? Sometimes, wallahi, when you read the Quran and you look at the situation of the people today, you see sometimes our situation is worse than those before us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destructed and destroyed people, maybe for something less than we're doing right now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنَ الْقُرُونِ مِنْ بَعْدِ نُوحٍ. And how many people have we destructed from after Nuh? Nuh was the first messenger sent to the people. وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنَ الْقُرُونِ مِنْ بَعْدِ نُوحٍ. وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ بِذُنُوبِ عِبَادِي خَبِيرًا. How many aqwam, how many things, or how many people destroyed? And we're going to mention some of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned in the Quran, فَكُلَّنْ أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَكُلَّنْ أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ. And all of them we took We destroy them because of their dhanb, of their sin. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never said, فَكُلَّنْ أَخَذْنَا بِذُنُوبِهِ فَكُلَّنْ أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ. There could be a time when one of them, they committed one sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destructed them with. فَكُلَّنْ أَخَذْنَا بِذَنْبِهِ فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ حَاصِبًا وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَخَذَتْهُ السَّيْحَةُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ خَسَفْنَا بِهِ الْأَرْضِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ أَغْرَقْنَا. Some of them were drowned, the people of Nuh. All of them, thousands of people, were drowned. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says some of them, the earth swallowed them up. And that brings to mind the great hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he talked about. That he said, يَغْزُوا جَيْشٌ الْكَعْبَةِ. There will be an army, they're going to be attacking the Kaaba. The Kaaba now that we go and circulate every now and again for Umrah and Hajj. There will be a people now that will come there and they will try and attack it. يَغْزُوا جَيْشٌ الْكَعْبَةِ وَهُمْ بِبَيْضَيْنْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ. And there will be close, or there will be some space between them and the Kaaba. فَيُخْسَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ الْأَرْضِ. The first of them and likewise the last of them, they will be swallowed up by the earth. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, Ya Rasulullah, كَيْفَ يُخْسَفُ بِهِ أَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ وَفِيهِمْ أَسْوَاقَهُمْ وَمَنْ لَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ. How can all these people be swallowed up by the earth? And part of these people are from those who did not have this intention, or they didn't want to do nothing, they didn't want to attack the Kaaba. And also their markets will be swallowed up. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُخْسَفُ بِأَوَّلِهِمْ وَآخِرِهِمْ ثُمَّ يُبْعَثُونَ عَلَى نِيَاتِهِمْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect them on Yawm al-Qiyamah due to their intention. So the whole shahid now is, the point that we're trying to get across now, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destructed so many nations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destructed Fir'aun and his people because of his kibir, his arrogance. The people of Lut, because of what they used to do. The people of Thamud. And many other nations. And Ahl al-Saba. Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed Ahl al-Saba. And say to me now, Allah of us are not like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ لِسَبَئٍ فِي مَسْكَنِهِمْ آيَةٌ جَنَّتَانِ عَنْ يَمِينَ وَالشِّمَالِ. The people of Saba, they had on their left and likewise on their right gardens. عَنْ يَمِينٍ وَعَنْ شِمَالٍ كُلُوا مِنْ رِزْخِ رَبِّكُمْ وَشْكُرُوا لَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, eat from this provision and also thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بَلَّةٌ طَيِّبَةٌ وَرَبُّ غَفُورٌ. So what did they actually do? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destruct them? فَأَعْرَضُوا فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَيْلَ الْعَرَمِ وَبَدَّلْنَاهُمْ بِجَنَّتَيْهِمْ جَنَّتَيْنِ ذواتي أكل خمط وأثل من شيء من سدر قليل ذلك جزيناهم بما كفروا. They were ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, eat and thank me, He told them to eat and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turned away. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destructed them just by thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or by not thanking Him. How many ni'am that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon us on a daily basis, we don't appreciate it. We don't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We take our health for granted. Go visit the hospital and see how many people, one of them, he can't stop his urinating on a regular basis. He can't stop it. Rather, this ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to go in the toilet, even to relieve ourselves, wallahi ni'ma azeema. You go to another one, he's not able to urinate. Some people, they don't have their daily food. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us maybe food, we don't appreciate it, and we disrespect it, and we don't accept it, and all sorts of things. Have you ever thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He gave you a job? Something that we take for granted. It's only minimum wage. We don't care about it. Or we're only earning this. It's not even much. Some people are dying for jobs to just earn a living. Forget us people outside or in other countries. They're not earning much. They're not earning nothing. Some of them, they don't eat nothing throughout the whole day. Do we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the clothes that He gives us and some of the things that He's given us on a daily basis that we might not even think about? It's only in your maslaha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need you. إِن يَشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. He can just remove every single one of us. وَيَأْتِ بِخَلْقٍ جَدِيدٍ. And He brings a new creation. Even this plague we were talking about yesterday in the khutbah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends upon the people. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send it upon all of us and we became destructed. In the time of Sahaba Umar ibn al-Khattab, 24,000 of the Muslimin, وَمِنُهُمْ الصَّحَابَ like Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, and also Mu'ad ibn Jabal, another of the Sahaba, they died in that plague called Amawas. In English they say Amawas. 24,000 of the Muslimin. And some of them were the Sahaba, righteous people and everything. If that happened to the Sahaba, what makes you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't do this to this mujtama with all kinds of balaya that's happening? All kinds of sin, all kinds of evil. In one moment. And you realize by this how powerful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ مَنْ الَّذِي يَعْصِمُكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِنْ أَرَادَ بِكُمْ سُوءًا وَأَرَادَ بِكُمْ رَحْمًا. And who will protect you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if He wanted to have mercy upon you or He wanted to harm you? Can anyone protect us? Anyone from the creation? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to wipe all these people out. Look what happened to Bani Israel, another example. بَقِيَتْ رِزْتُنُ وَعَذَابٌ عَلَى طَائِفَةٍ مِنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلٍ. There's a hadith when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said there's still a rizq or adab, a torment, a punishment that still needs to hit Bani Israel. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِذَا وَقَعَ عَلَى أَرْضٍ وَأَنْتُمْ فِيهَا فَلَا تَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا وَإِذَا وَقَعَ بِأَرْضٍ وَأَنْتُمْ لَسْتُمْ بِهَا وَلَا تَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا. If it happens inside a place, this adab, then do not leave it. And if you find out and you're not in that particular place, don't go to it. The shahid from this is some of the shurrah they said regarding this hadith. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this adab upon the Bani Israel, 24,000 min shuyukihim wa kubaraihim were destroyed in 1 hour. 24,000 of them in 1 hour. For I go back to the Tuhfatul Ahwadiyya, of what the some of the explanations of this particular hadith, some of them they said. 24,000. Forget 24,000. Imagine now one person that we know every day is dying. Or he's being destructed. Some of the sins that he might be doing. هذه والله عبرة لنا جميعا. It's like an example to all of us. So what do we actually do now? What is the hal? What is the resolution for all the affairs that we're in? In our society now, we find every kind of sin. People, they disobey their parents. People, they are so arrogant, they don't accept the haqq. Fir'aun didn't accept the haqq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed him. Kana mustakbiran. He used to be arrogant. And some of these other things that happens. Zina, Bani Israel. فَإِنَّ أَوَّلَ فِتْنَةَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ كَانَتْ فِي النِّسَاءِ. Like it came in the hadith. The first fitna that Bani Israel was afflicted with was with regards to women. MashaAllah, now when you go in the jami'at, they got something called Freshers Week, also known as Zina Week, where everybody, they get to know each other, and they're partying inside the parties that's going on, and it's become normal for the people to fornicate and to get to know each other. Become very, very widespread. It's become normal now. When you walk past the street, we see women and men in the middle of the corner doing whatever they're doing. Adi, it's become normal. That's how widespread it's become, the issue. The Prophet ﷺ also said, مِنَ أَشْرَاطِ السَّاعَةِ يَقِلَّ الْعِلْمُ. وَيَظْهَرَ الْجَهْلُ وَيَظْهَرَ الزِّنَا. From the signs of the hour is that the jahl becomes so widespread and the zina becomes so widespread as well. And also there came another narration, وَيُكْثَرُ الْحَرَجُ. The killing becomes very widespread as well. And we're coming to that as well, especially what's happening now in the Muslim countries and the situation that we're in. Rather, I'll mention the solution at the end. I'll go on to this point immediately. Some of the situation now that's going in the lands of the Muslimin, from killing, from all this revolution that's happening, everybody is calling to the change of the leader to be changed. طيب حب أنه ظالم, that he's a person that is oppressive, he does all kinds of balaya, he does all kinds of sins, يشرب الخمر, and he does all kinds of things, all kinds of sin. What do we do in this particular situation? Especially when this is going on, how many people have I spoken to? I'll just bring an example, our Yemen. What happened in Yemen? Yes, they went out against him. They called all this havoc, all this fawda happened. طيب, he's a ظالم, he's a غاشم. Everything you want to say about him, let's just say the guy was like this. The guy that was in charge. Let's just say كل بليه فيه. Every type of sin was with him, within him. If we was to say that this is the situation now, at the time when he was in charge, at least now the majority of the country will agree with this, they preferred that the country was then and not now how it is. MashaAllah, at that time there was electricity, things were cheap, all kinds of things were, alhamdulillah, happening smoothly. As soon as they started doing the thawrat and all this revolution, what happened? The whole country now toppled over. Toppled over. And now who's in charge is who? The Houthis, who believe they go to Jannah when they kill the Sunnah or they kill the Sunnis. فَأَبْدَلَهُمْ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى شَرًّا مِنْهَا. They were all saying, he is this, he is this, he is that. People are getting killed, they don't know why he's getting killed. He's coming out, الشعب يريد إسخاط النظام. The society wants the ruler to drop. Every day and night we're hearing this on the streets, fawda. What does Al-Islam teach us regarding this particular issue? What did the Sahaba do? What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talk about this particular issue? It's important that we know, so we don't just go with the crew or we go with the everybody else where they're running to, we run with them. There's a whole chapter in Sahih Muslim where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talks about the ruler. And these kind of rulers as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, وَكَفَانَ هَذِ الْحَدِيثِ. It's sufficient what's mentioned in this particular hadith. Hudhayfa ibn al-Yamani said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, firstly the Prophet said to him, أَعَاذَكَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مِنْ أُمَرَاءِ السُّوءِ. Or min imarat al-sufaha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you from the foolish leadership. Or those leaders that are from the fools. So Hudhayfa ibn al-Yamani said to him, Ya Rasulullah, what do I do when this situation actually comes? He said to him, I fear they will come to you. Umara'un la yaqtaduna bihadyi wa la yastanuna bisunnati. They won't use my guidance as a guidance and they won't use my sunnah as a sunnah. They won't take my way. قُلُوبَهُمْ كَقُلُوبَ الشَّيَاطِينَ. Their hearts are like the hearts of the shaitan. Can anybody get worse than this? You are so evil, you do some of the actions of the shayateen, your heart's like the heart of the shaitan. So Hudhayfa, he said, what shall I do in this particular situation? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said then, وَإِنْ ضُرِبَ ظَهْرُكْ وَأُخِذَ مَالُكْ فَاسْمَعْ وَأَطِعْ. If this leader now hits your or beats your back and also takes your money, listen and obey. Why? The whole hikmah behind this, I'm going to mention it now. Let's just say now everybody came out. There's fawda. Chaos from this side, chaos from that side, chaos from this side. And we have Yemen now as an example. And the mashayikh of Yemen, they were calling out day and night. And alhamdulillah, in Yemen, the thawrat al-rabi' did not affect the particular or the particular place he was in. 70% of the people that were revolting, they had left the protesting and all sorts. Alhamdulillah, the mashayikh was speaking. And a lot of it stopped. What happened after that? The situation started getting more better. There was more hudu and sakina. Let's just get other examples now. Fawda happened, everybody came out, everybody started killing each other. Ankaru bima wa ankar min. There's a very great principle in the principles of usul. And this is taken from the Quran. That when there's a munkar, when there's an evil, you don't do inkar or you don't disapprove of this evil if it's going to lead to a bigger evil. Where was this taken from? هَلْ كَانَ هَذَا هَوَى desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَلَا تَسُبُّ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ فَيَصُبُّ اللَّهُ عَدُّ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Even though it is permissible for a person to speak badly or evil about the gods of the kuffar, it is permissible. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not do this. Why? Because they are going to be speaking bad about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you don't disapprove of this, if it's going to lead to a bigger problem. What happened then? A lot of the countries, they toppled over. All kinds of mashakil happened. وَإِلَى الْآنِ Until this very day, you ask the Yemenis and you ask the Misris, the Egyptians and many other people, they will say to you, we prefer that our country was in the situation before all these revolutions and all these thawrat happened. Why? Because there would have been hudu and sikina. And now the Westerners, they are laughing at the Muslimin and their bilad has absolutely become demolished. And the Muslims, they've got nowhere to go now. And you have the people like the Shias and also the Iranians, they are loving this opportunity. They are wishing for the time when they will come inside Yemen, they go into Saudi Arabia. People, when you go home today, inshallah, have a look at the map. Have a look at the map around Saudiya. Who's got control of these countries at this very moment? Now Yemen was the last resort. I'll tell you right now. They've been planning so much to take over Yemen for a very long time. 25 years I'm talking about. They tried so hard. That's why they wanted to destroy that village, Damaj, as much as they could. That was the only Sunni province left in the north of Yemen. Why? Because that border is sharing a border with Saudiya. And their ultimate goal is Saudiya, to get in there and to establish themselves there. So when Damaj got destroyed, now they've taken over. They've got them from this side. They've got them from Iraq. And they've got them from places like Bahrain. Najran, which is the other side of the border inside Saudi Arabia, they've got it. All the sides, they are planning so hard to take over. So they take over the Al-Haramain. I never mentioned this 20 years ago, 10 years ago, Sheikh bin Baz spoke about this. And now it's becoming a reality. One brother, that when I was studying, he was in Damascus for like at least 25 years. He said, before I left England, I read an article that this was going to happen. That what they're trying to do, their plans, they were doing it on an interview, and all these following years, what actually happened, they've been trying year after year, year after year. So don't be surprised now if we're not able to go and do Umrah, or we're not able to go and do Hajj, because year in, year out, it's becoming more harder. Even one brother that was speaking to us in Saudiya, he was saying to us that they made a complaint, or the Iranians, they made a complaint that 2 years it should be in the hands of the Sunnah and 2 years it should be in the hands of the Shia. Do you think when they take control, they're going to let all of us go do Umrah and enjoy ourselves? And when they've been trying to kill the Muslimin, for how long? And they believe this is deen. Walakin, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save the Muslimin and help them wake up, especially what's going on in this world. Because the mashayikh, they were going out day and night in Yemen, explaining to the people that what they are doing, some of the a'da al-Islam, they are waiting for this to happen. And now they've taken over, and now the land of the Muslimin has toppled over and has become demolished. And also a very quick thing related to the protesting that a lot of the people they do, and also the hujjah they come up with. They come in places like this and they do protest. Or even in the lands of the Muslimin, we want Sharia. Or we want to have a legislated divine and all sorts. And day and night they're running around. Salah time, they're calling to Sharia in other times. And when you look at himself and likewise the situation, there's no Sharia within himself. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us to fix ourselves first and rectify ourselves before we rectify other people? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us? He told us to rectify ourselves. This person, maybe he's swearing. He's wearing the tightest clothes ever. We're talking about a man. A woman, she comes out with no hijab, protesting according to Sharia. Isn't it awla, foremost, that a person saw the Sharia within himself? He rectifies himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourselves, firstly, and save your family, secondly, from the hellfire. Then you fix yourself up, then you fix up the rest of the people. If you're doing something wrong, for example, now a smoker, he tells his kid, don't smoke, and he smokes. Is that something that will be taken from him? No, it doesn't make sense. So by you fixing yourself up, you can fix up the other people. And this is now what the youth have been afflicted with and likewise brainwashed. We need the Sharia. Establish the Sharia within yourself. Fix up yourself. MashaAllah, protest, 2,000, 5,000 people, they come out. Fajr, there's maybe one saf. The masajid are empty. Why haven't they established the Sharia? Or establishing the Salat? And also establishing the Tawheed. You ask him what the basic principles of Tawheed, he doesn't know. But he wants to come out and establish Sharia. And also another thing that a person needs to know as well, regarding these affairs of Al-Khuruj, and also trying to topple over the leader. And we mentioned before, he could be the worst of the people. A lot of people, they don't differentiate between Kufr, Bawah, clear-cut kufr, and also that which is ma'asi. For example, now a person is drinking khamar. He is committing zina. Can we say this person is a kafir, he's come out of the religion? No, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might forgive him. They try to use this generally against the rulers. Fi'lan, there's maybe one of them that sadara minhu kufran, that he did kufr and he done tahrif of the Quran and things like that. But a lot of them, you find they do all kinds of balaya, but it hasn't reached kufr and bawah. But people are very, very hasty to establish or to say that this person is a kafir, when we can just easily wait to see clear cut kufr. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, illa an taraw kufran bawahan indakum min Allah fi burhan. Until you see clear-cut infidelity, clear-cut kufr. Sometimes there's a doubt whether it is kufr clear-cut and whether it's not. So it's better for a person to wait until it's clear-cut, until a person is coming out openly that we have to leave off the Sharia al-Islam and then we have to establish another constitute or something like that. Something that is clear-cut. But the problem is, وَخُلِخَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. A person, he's created with ajal, very, very muthammis, very hype. And this is what has caused a big problem inside our Ummah al-Islamiyah. So what is the solution? All these problems are happening now. And inshallah, it's just a little bit left to the end of the muhadara. What is the solution for all these kind of things that are happening? What do we have to do? Do we carry on what we're doing in our ma'asi, in all kinds of our sins and things like that? The ilaj, the shifa, is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. This Quran is a shifa that we talked about in the start of the lecture. خَجَّاتْكُمْ مَوْعِدَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called this Quran a shifa, a cure. The solution is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned, to go back to the book of Allah azza wa jal and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This deen is kamil, perfect. Every particular issue is covered. It doesn't need anyone to come along and start talking and start saying things or adding things to religion. If only you followed it like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam followed it, or he did it, or he said, and like the sahabas they done, it's clear cut and simple. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do. He said, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ فَعَلُوا مَا يُعَظُونَ بِهِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ وَأَشَدَّ تَثْبِيتًا. If only they done what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to do, it would have been better for them. وَإِذًا لَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مِنْ لَدُنَّا أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا وَلَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. And we would have guided them to this straight path. But a lot of us now, we try to give our aql, our minds, precedence over everything else. No, but this is good. When you say to someone, "Akhi, this is not from the sunnah," no, but it's good. This is the first reply. Rather, a deen should be ittiba', to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like how a person or the sheep are following the leader or the shepherd, we should be following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he told us exactly, shibram bi shibra wa dhira'an bi dhira'a, cubit by cubit and also arm span by arm span. If only day and night we study the sunnah, we study the Quran, and by this we have learned what is halal and likewise what is haram. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in another hadith, إِنِّي تَارِكٌ فِيكُمْ مَا تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِ لَن تَضِلُّوا بَعْدِ أَبَدًا. I leave with you two things, that as long as you stick to it, you will never ever go astray. Kitab Allah, my book, and also وَسُنَّتِي, and my way. And it came in another narration, وَأَهْلِ بَيْتِي, like in Sahih Muslim. And also my household, my companions. We have to follow how the Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhim done everything, because they were the best of the people after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whatever they did, we should do. Whatever they refrained from, we should refrain from. And they were the best of the people. They were the best of the people to ever have touched upon this earth. And no one's better than what they did. And no one can come in this particular time and start telling us to do something that the Sahaba, they forgot. And also a very common thing that the people, they say, how come all these problems are only happening within the Muslimin? And we have places like Britain and also Europe, there's nothing, there's no problems, there's no destruction. What is the reason for this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likewise talked about this particular issue. Here you find ourselves, mashallah, we got benefits, child tax credit, we get money for free, we get all kinds of money from the government, we have nice jobs, we got nice wealth and all kinds of and all sorts of things. And all of the dunya has come to us raghiman. Everything is coming to us perfectly, we've got no problems. But the Muslimin, they're being trialed and tribulated. What's the reason for this? We tend to forget. Or the shaitan might whisper in our ear, telling us, mashallah, we're upon the right path. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً. And when they forgot what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded them with, just see how this is in correspondence to our situation now that we're in. And when they forgot what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded them with, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, we open all kinds of doors for them, whether it's money, children, all kinds of stuff. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا, until they become happy, they became happy. Here a lot of us, mashallah, the Muslimin, they're very happy. He's picking up all his money without running around, and he's very happy. أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا مُبْلِسُونَ, and then we punish them unexpectedly. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to destruct the people, He will leave the kind of situation they're in, and it will hit them unexpectedly. So we shouldn't be surprised now if this mujtama', this society, is hit from every angle. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He also said, وَإِذَا أَرَدْنَا أَن نُهْلِكَ قَرْيَةً أَمَرْنَا مُتْرَفِيهَا فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا فَحَقَّ عَلَيْهَا الْقَوْلِ فَدَمَّرْنَاهَا تَدْمِيرًا. And if we wanted to destruct the people, we will give them the astonishment of this life, and also the goodness of this life, the zina, the beautification of it. فَفَسَقُوا فِيهَا, and also the transgression will become widespread in it. فَحَقَّ عَلَيْهَا الْقَوْلِ فَدَمَّرْنَاهَا تَدْمِيرًا, and we will destruct them with a great destruction. Now just reflect upon these two ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned, وَعْدَ اللَّهِ لَا يُخْلِفُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ, the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not fail in His promise at all. Rather also the ibtila, and I'm going to conclude the lecture with this, the ibtila, that a lot of us, we break down, or we become vulnerable as soon as we're tested or examined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We think this might be shar against us, evil against us. Rather, the one that contemplates the Quran and the Sunnah will realize that this is bushra in the case of a mu'min. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ مُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ وَلَيْسَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا الْمُؤْمِنِ وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا الْمُؤْمِنِ. The affair of the Muslim is amazing, astonishing. For indeed his affair is always khair. The affair of the believer is always khair. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءٌ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءٌ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. When he is afflicted or he is given or blessed with a good blessing, he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he, when he is harmed or is afflicted with a bad affliction, he is patient and he moves on with his life. So some of these ibtila'a that happen to us, how do we go about with it? Do we khalas, يعني, go hang ourselves, or we throw ourselves over London Bridge? That's what happens to a lot of people, they do. As soon as he loses his job, or he loses some of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon him, especially his believers, he goes and he throws himself off the bridge in London Bridge. That's why they used to have security guards there, or they used to have guards there to stop the people from doing this. Even recently, one person in my workplace, when we started to learn how to do that particular work, he couldn't do it. He couldn't do it, and he started becoming so depressed. I was worse than him, and he was better than me. So when he saw me that I became better than him in a particular action or that amal, and I was making dua because it was very, very hard at the very moment, because this disbeliever, he has no iman, he decided to take a walk to the bridge in Enderby. Wallahi, so I went there and he came late from the break, and he came back all confused and in a mess. So the supervisor, he asked him, why did you do that? Why was you late? So he started telling him that, what's it called, I don't actually know why people do this. Meaning, why people they throw themselves off. I don't know how they do it. He couldn't imagine people doing it. He thought about throwing himself off over the bridge. That's a shahid. That ran through his mind. Obviously, why? Because he doesn't know the ayat. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us of. Look what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ شَخْصًا ابْتَلَاهُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he loves a person, he tests him, he examines him. And came another hadith, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ إِبْتِلَاءً الْأَنْبِيَاءَ فَالْأَمْثَلْ يُبْتَلُ الْإِنسَانَ عَلَى قَدْرِ دِينِهِ. The most severely punished people on يوم most severely punished people are the Anbiya. Then those like them, then those like them. يُبْتَلُ الْإِنسَانُ عَلَى قَدْرِ دِينِهِ. A person is tested how strong he is with regard to his deen. So these things, they will happen. Look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. A very important ayah. And that particular time, the only thing that was running through my head was this ayah. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. And we will examine you with something of hunger, fear, وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ, life, and also ثَمَرَاتِ, fruits. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, and loss of wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might examine you tomorrow. You lose 20,000-30,000 pounds. What are we going to do? Go hang ourselves? Throw ourselves over the bridge? هذا شيء يبتليه الله سبحانه وتعالى العباد. تبارك الذي بيده الملك وهو على كل شيء قدير الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. Allah سبحانه وتعالى created life and death to test you which of you are going to have the best action. And then Allah سبحانه وتعالى said in a previous ayah, الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower them with blessing. Those that are patient upon these ibtila'at. For the mu'min is bushra. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذا شيء قدره الله سبحانه وتعالى 50,000 سنة قبل أن يخلق السماوات والأرض. 50,000 years before He created the heaven and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed this. So this is something that is bound to happen. And also you find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might put a test, an examination between the Muslimin to do tamiz between the khabith and likewise the individual that is tayyib. ليميز الله الخبيث من الطيب. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ما كان الله ليظهر المؤمنين على ما أنتم عليه حتى يميز الخبيث من الطيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not be leaving the mu'mineen upon what they are upon until He does the differentiation between the khabith and likewise the tayyib. And that will happen at the end of time when Medina, the city of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will spit out those that are khabith at the end of time, and the Dajjal won't be able to enter that particular place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be doing tamiz of the people, so that the people, they know between the khabith and the tayyib. And also one last thing, ikhwan, what I've realized as well, especially since coming back, that another main reason that people, they fall into ma'asi and they do sin, because of their lack of thiqa billah azza wa jal, and their lack of tawakkul billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding the arzaq, regarding their provision. And I would like to read out one great athar of Hassan al-Basri. People, they take out the mortgage, he says to you, I have to do this, I have to have a house, I have to do this. Or he takes out riba, or he steals, or he does benefit fraud. What do they call it? Separate. They say that the husband is separate from the wife, which is an actual lie. So that the woman, she gets more money. Their whole life has become attached to these benefits, or this child tax credit, or all these other things that the government, they give us. And we've forgotten Allah Azza wa Jal. As soon as something happens, we go running there. And we fall in all kinds of haram, fearing for our rizq. Hassan al-Basri, he mentioned in a great author, he said, خَرَأْتُ فِي تِسْعِينَ مَوْضِعًا أَنَّ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى قَدَّرَ الْأَرْزَاقِ. I read in the Quran in 90 places. 90 places, yeah? We're not talking about one or two. 90 places that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decreed your provision. وَقَرَأْتُ فِي مَوْضِعٍ وَاحِدٍ أَنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرِ. And I read in one place that the shaytan, he scares the people with provision. With poverty. الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرِ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاء. Look at these two things are connected to each other. الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرِ وَيَأْمُرُكُمْ بِالْفَحْشَاء. When the shaytan, he scares you of poverty, he makes you and he orders you to do the fahsha, the unlawful acts. Why? Because the person becomes scared of the provision or of the poverty. So a person, he lies, he takes mortgage, he takes all these kind of things, thinking that he's going to die. Which in reality, well, in Britain, we always get something called JSA, even if the person doesn't have any job, and you always get benefits. Back to what he was saying. وَقَرَأْتُ فِي مَوْضِعٍ وَاحِدًا الشَّيْطَانُ يَعِدُكُمُ الْفَقْرِ. I read in one place that the shaytan, he fears your poverty. Then he said, فَشَكَكْنَا فِي قَوْلِ الصَّادِقِ فِي تِسْعِينَ مَوْضِعًا وَصَدَقْنَا قَوْلَ الْكَاذِبِ فِي مَوْضِعٍ وَاحِدٍ. We had doubt regarding the statement, the truth was statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all these 90 places. All these 90 places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about rizqak, your provision, we have not believed in the truth for one. Rather, it comes along and we just move on. And this only place, this one place, that is kadhib, kadhab, a shaytan, may the curse of Allah azza wa jal be upon him, that one place he said, that he scares you off, we become scared and we believe him. And how is our situation today? So easy for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something for him to decree. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْءٍ يَقُولُ لَكُنْ فَيَكُونَ. And it happens. That we put our tawakkul of Allah Azza wa Jal. We thank him for the things he does. Wallahi, two things. أَنَا رَأَيْتُ فِي. I've seen a great benefit in it. Me personally. One, to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, to thank Allah Azza wa Jal. It's an opportunity, anything that you get. Whether it's a job, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might get a permanent job or a job with a better pay. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا كَانَ عَطَاءُ رَبِّكَ مَحْظُورًا. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give you, there's no something that can be counted. Anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can decree at any time can happen. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank him. Anything that you get, seize the opportunity. Because what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. Thank me and I will increase you. It's only in your own good. أنتم الفقراء إلى الله والله الغني الحميد. Allah said, you are those that need of Allah Azza wa Jal. So by you doing this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need it, but it's only benefiting you. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides you with that food, thank Allah Azza wa Jal. Anything he gives you, thank Allah Azza wa Jal. And make dua to him that he gives you more. Or he gives you anything at any time. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to benefit us from what we heard and to make us from those that when they're reminded, they take heed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in the Quran about the disbelievers, وَإِذَا ذُكِّرُوا لَا يَذْكُرُونَ. And when they're reminded, they do not take heed. This is the state of the disbeliever. And a lot of us, maybe in the khutbah, we attend khutbah every Friday. We come, we listen, and we go, and we don't take heed. Situation of a lot of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. Those that when they listen, they follow that which is better. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to benefit us from what we've heard. If anyone had any problem, or what's it called, any doubt or difficulty understanding some of the things that I said regarding the lecture, he can ask after even now, or we can just carry on inshallah, we end the lecture then. You know, you find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, firstly the brother was asked, how can a person thank Allah? Regarding when Aisha radiallahu anha, she went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was praying throughout the whole night. So she said to him, Ya Rasulullah, why do you do this when Allah azza wa jalla has forgave your past sins and likewise your future sins? He said, Afala akuna abdan shukura, shall I not be a thankful slave? So here you find that a person thanks Allah Azza wa Jal with his limbs, with his actions, by being dutiful to Allah Azza wa Jal, doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you. And also it came in another hadith, if a person is blessed with a blessing, then let him do a sajdat al-shukr. Let him prostrate on the floor and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a way of thanking Allah Azza wa Jal, by doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you to do, and staying away from the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you to stay away from, then this is something, or a way to thank Allah Azza wa Jal.
Okay, we're going to call it a van now for the Isha Salat, but I've just got one announcement, which is next week, Sunday, I believe the 2nd of November, Ba'da Salat al-Maghrib, we will have Sheikh Mohammed Maliki here to deliver a lecture on one of the deviant sects of Islam, the Khawarij. So that's next Sunday, Ba'da Salat al-Maghrib, inshallah. So if you tell your friends and come, inshallah, you'll see the Sheikh here. Please visit us a number of times
before. Also next month, Abu al-Abbas.
And next month also, one of the graduates from Medina, I believe it's on the 23rd, Saturday the 23rd, he's going to come here and deliver a lecture upon one of the hadith. You'll see the posters, inshallah, in the next coming weeks on the notice board, bi-idhnillah. Jazakallah khair for your attendance. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Allahu Akbar, Allah. Hayya.
يا خاطب الحور الحسان وطالبا لوصالهن بجنة الحيوان.